Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of shrewd understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, go up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him who liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds who were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there anything missing unto them, and all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And David answered David's servants and said, or Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I have not from them know where they are? And David's young men turned their way, and they went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his young men, gird on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we went with them, and when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a worthless fellow that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 skins of wine, and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the top of the mountain. And behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all this fellows that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. and that he hath requited me evil for good. So, and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any male. And when Abigail saw David, she hastened and alighted from the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, Upon me, my lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy hearing, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this worthless fellow, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withheld thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil against my lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men who follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all these days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done for my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood without cause, or that my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thine advice, and blessed be thou who hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, who hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hastened and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any male child. And David received of her hand that which she had brought, and said to her, Go in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his scripture. I know that that was a long reading, and I wondered whether I should read it all and just pick some verses out, but I thought in order that we might get the full understanding of this story, I should read all of those verses. I would like to center our thoughts around verse 29. We read in there, But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Bound in the bundle of life. Here is the picture that we have in this scripture that I just read to you. It is springtime in the land of Palestine. This is a very, very wonderful time over there of the year. And you can see nature popping up all around in the scene that we have before us. The valleys and hills were green with grass, but spotted in the valleys could be some white, and on the hills would be some white. But this was not snow left over from the winter, but this was flocks of sheep that were gathering together to come to the shearing grounds. Here and there were these patches of white, showing that there were sheep there. Flocks of these sheep were being led, as I said, to the shearing grounds. Now, let's visit one of these flocks of 3,000. This is the flock of Nabal. Not only were the sheep gathered here, but goats and cattle and camels, multitudes of children, multitudes of women were gathered together. The fires were burning where the oxen were spitted and they were being roasted so that they were going to have a feast. There was joy and rejoicing at this time because this was the time of giving and receiving gifts. And what David sent his men to do was not that he was begging, but it was something that was done at that time. You could go to somebody who was rejoicing in the fact that they were shearing their sheep, and you could ask them for something to eat. And that's what David did at this time. It was a time like an old-fashioned barn raising in America, or where like the Amish would raise their barns, and they have a great feast at that time, and there's a great time of fellowship together. Now, one by one, the sheep came, and they were sheared, and Nabal could sit in his pavilion and look out with satisfaction and see the heaps of white wool rising higher and higher. And he was enjoying that scene. Now, his name was Nabal. He was a degenerate descendant of the great family of Caleb. He did not really bear Caleb's name very well. He was called a great man. It wasn't because he was an honest man or because he was a good man or because he was generous, but because of the fact that he owned so many cattle, so many sheep and goats. The scriptures tell us that he had besides 3,000 sheep, he had 1,000 goats. And so he's looking out upon this scene. And his most valuable possession was his wife, Abigail. But as many men do not recognize that their wives are so valuable to them, he did not recognize the beauty in his wife and how she was so nice and kind to him. Now, as Nabal sat there watching the shearing of the sheep, 10 young men come up and talk to him. And these 10 men, young men have a request from him. We find this in verses 11 and 12. Verse 9. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. David had told them that they should go at shearing time and that they would receive a gift from Nabal. And they were to remind Nabal that they had taken care of all of their flocks. They didn't, when they were hungry, go and steal anything or rob anything from David's flocks. In fact, they protected them from the sheaves and the wolves. And he told them that they should tell Nabal to speak to one of the young men. And if he speaks to the young men will verify what they are saying, that they protected their sheep. Now read in verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not from where they are?" He says he didn't know David. Who is David? Well, Abigail knew who David was. And I'm sure he knew who David was. But this was a sarcastic remark that he's making at this time. Who is that man Nabal? Or that man David? He doesn't mean anything to me. Well, at this time, David is the anointed king. And David is fleeing from Saul there in the forests of Carmel. They had taken care of the sheep. They had watched over them and helped them. And now he doesn't have anything for them. Now David, we are told, was a man of very, very ruddy countenance. And when these 10 young men brought this answer from Nabal, his countenance was white, white with anger. And so we read in verse 13, "And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And they went up after David about 400 men, and 200 men abode by the baggage." Can you picture David as he's walking along, muttering to himself and muttering to his first lieutenant walking with him? Nabal doesn't know who David is. Well, he's going to find out pretty soon who David is. He never heard of the son of Jesse. Well, he'll know who he is by the time tomorrow. Nabal thinks we're a band of outlaws and thieves. Well, we'll treat him as outlaws and thieves, and he'll see what we can do. And then I'm going to kill every son of Nabal, every man who is with Nabal by the morning light. Meanwhile, one of the servants who had heard this conversation went and told Abigail about it. She was told about the insults that Nabal had hurled at David's men. And ere long, out of the hills came these 400 men marching, coming to wipe out Nabal's heritage, wipe out his people. She might have said to herself, well, Nabal deserves what he's going to get. Let him die. But then she thought of all the other young men who would die with him. She thought it might be a good thing. She could have thought that it might be a good thing because she would be rid of this terrible, terrible husband that she had. But instead, Abigail acted very, very quickly to do what she could do to save Nabal from destruction and all the innocent people from being killed. Verse 18. "And Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 200 skins of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the top of the mountain, and behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them." So as Abigail dismounts from her ass, she sees these men coming, and she stops, and they stop up short. I think if there was a list of 10 most eloquent speeches from the Bible recorded, Abigail's speech would be one of the most beautiful recorded. She began in verse 24 by taking blame unto herself. It wasn't her fault, but she's taking blame unto herself. "And she fell at his feet and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy hearing, and hear the words of thine handmaid." That reminds me of a preacher friend that we had years ago. He used to say many things and get himself in wrong. And his wife would come around, she'd say, "Well, Papa didn't mean that, the way you're taking it. Please understand, Papa really didn't mean that." And she would smooth things over for Papa. This reminds me of that situation. Here is Abigail smoothing over for her terrible husband Nabal in this situation. She says if she had been there, this would not have happened. She would have given the young man a present, whether Nabal liked it or not. Then she told David that he ought not to pay any attention to what Nabal was saying. Verse 25. "Let now, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this worthless fellow." She was very honest, calling her husband a worthless fellow, even Nabal. "For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send." Then Abigail struck the note of God's purpose in life. God had appointed David to rule over the land of Israel. His was a sure house. And the Lord was going to fight his battles. And then she struck the great note of God's providence. What God had promised he would fulfill. And in that respect, she was a prophetess, predicting that David, in spite of what is happening to him and Saul seeking after his life, is going to have a sure house and rule the land of Israel. She says that the enemies of David will be slung out from the middle of a sling, but the soul of David was bound up in the bundle of the Lord, and the Lord was going to take care of him. Because of this, Abigail was a very, very beautiful life, a woman, and she appealed to David. She asked him not to do what he started out to do, but to please take the gift that she is bringing and to stop what he's doing. Verse 30, and it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offensive heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood without cause, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. When she returned home, I think she was going to tell Nabal about what happened. But Nabal was drunk, dead drunk. And so she waited till the morning, and she told Nabal what happened. Verse 37 tells us what happened to Nabal. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. Now all of this tells us that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We don't need to try to repay people. All that we need to do is to put them in the hands of the Lord. And he can do a far better job than we can do. He knows how to deal with the evildoers. It was better that God would deal with Nabal than that David would deal with him. But isn't this a wonderful little phrase that she says? She tells David that he is bound up in the bundle of life, and he should not do anything that is wrong and harmful to himself at this time. Now, this is a metaphor that goes back to the days when men carried all their belongings in a bag or a cloth on their shoulder. Back in the Depression days, we had men who were tramps. Not because they wanted to be tramps, but because of the fact that they did not have a job. And so many times you would see pictures of men with a small stick hanging over their shoulder and also a bag on the back holding all of the things that they owned. And so that's the picture that you have here. He's bound up in the bundle of life, and God is going to take care of him. Now, I said in the beginning I was going to talk about the providence of God. And in this whole story, we see the providence of God working out. Abigail had already applied this truth to her own life. She was living with this despot, this terrible man, Nabal. What a terrible life she had. But she's saying, this is God's lot for me at this time. This is what God wants me to go through at this time. And I'll not rebel against Nabal, but I'll accept this misfortune as God allows it to come. And she did not permit this to sour her spirit, to embitter her, or to turn her away from God, or to believe that God was unfair to her. But she, on the contrary, she accepted this as being God's appointment for her at that time. And so she asked David to apply the same truth to his own life, that God's providence is in and over all. He had indeed many trials, David did. He was at that time, as I mentioned before, being sought after by Saul, ready to put him to death. But Abigail now is a prophetess, and she assures him that he will be delivered out of the hands of his enemies, and that someday he would come to the throne, for he was bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord. And since that was so, then she pleaded with David not to continue on to try to put these people to death. She told him that he would not regret it later on if he didn't do that, but that if he carried on and he would have wiped out all of Nabal, all that he had, then David, when he came to the throne, would regret that thing in his life. There were many things that David had to regret of in his life. He had to regret concerning his actions with Bathsheba and with Uriah. And there are other things that he had to regret of, but he never had to regret this action. Now, as Abigail told David that he was bound up in the bundle of life, you and I, whether we realize it or not, are bound up in the bundle of life with God. When we become His children, His providence begins to work in our lives. The Bible tells us that, my own favorite verse, that all things do work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's the providence of God being worked out in our lives. So what applied to David applies to all of us. You see, David is called to be the king. Samuel had already anointed him to be king, to take the place of Saul. But David would not do anything to harm Saul when he could have, because he said he's the Lord's anointed. He was very wise in that part, allowing the Lord to deal with Saul. He didn't have to deal with Saul. Saul was slain in battle, you know. Well, applying this to ourselves, you and I are called to be saints. We're called to be kings and priests with God. And the thought of this is of a nature to keep us from sin, because we believe that we are bound up in the bundle of life, and we believe that whatever happens to us is God's providence. I trust you believe it. I say we believe it. I trust you believe it. We need to trust in this providence. Let's look at things which cause regret and those which will not cause regret. On this occasion, as we have seen, David responded to the plea of Abigail. He put aside his wrath, the purpose of his revenge, and he broke out in thanksgiving to God for his gracious provision for him that day. Notice verses 32 and 33. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou who hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand." So David thanks God for her action. He thanks God for keeping him from doing what he had not done. As I mentioned before, there are many things in his life of which he had to regret, but he never had the regret of this. Did you ever take time in your own life to thank God for the things you haven't done? For the things that you were so sure was His will, but somehow God spoke to you, and you saw that it wasn't His will, and you thanked God that He never allowed you to do that which you wanted to do. There are things done which we'll never regret. Didn't do wrong. You'll never regret the fact that when you reviled not again, that when you were insulted, you did not answer somebody else with another insult. You never regret that you shared sympathy with someone. You never have to regret that you gave a meal to somebody, that you gave a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody. Maybe that you warned the tempted, that you encouraged somebody along the way. These are just little things that we'll never regret that we did. And you'll never regret that you remembered the Lord God, your Creator, in the days of your youth. I'm thankful that at the age of 7 years of age, I trusted in the Lord as my Savior. Now, I can't say that I lived for the Lord all that time. I sowed some wild oats as I was a young person. Not real bad, but some wild oats. Things that were displeasing to the Lord, I'm sure. But at 16, then I devoted my life to the Lord. And my whole life changed at that time because I had consecrated to my life to the Lord at 16. And I thank the Lord that there are a lot of things that He didn't permit me to do. Now as we close, let's think of the work of the Holy Spirit. This story brings forth to us all of the gracious work of the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us in Providence? Well, first of all, and mainly, He speaks to us through the Scriptures. But then He speaks to us in Providence. He speaks to us through sickness, through health, through joy, through disappointments. He speaks to us as we come to worship Him through the hymns that we sing, and through prayer, and through perhaps a message that somebody brings. There are many, many ways that the Lord speaks to us, and we need to be attuned to the voice of the Spirit to find out what the Lord is saying to us. He can even speak through a woman, as He did here. Through this gifted woman, the Holy Spirit pleaded with David to keep back his arm from sin. However, the sad fact is that when He often speaks to us, we just fail to heed what He's saying, we don't listen to Him. He pleads with us sometimes not to do certain things through the Scriptures or some other way. He pleads with us and we turn around and do it anyway. And we displease the Lord in doing that and we don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And thus we cause future regret and sorrow. More than that, sometimes He pleads with us to repent of the things that we know that we have sinned and done wrong, and we just don't do that. We're all Christians here this morning, I believe, but I wonder, is there anyone here this morning who's coming against the Lord with a drawn sword, as David came against Nabal? You're dissatisfied with the Lord's dealings in your life? You're dissatisfied with the providence of God in your life? Oh, may you listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you, as He seeks to comfort you, as He seeks to guide you, as He seeks to direct you. From what does the Holy Spirit speak to you and tell you not to do? From an act of revenge? Somebody treated you meanly and you said to yourself, well, when I get a chance and I get them in the right place, I'll pay them back for what they did to me. From unfriendliness or bitter hatred or envy, does the Holy Spirit seek to push that out of your life? Maybe from forsaking the Bible and giving up prayer and giving up worship and not reading the Bible, then the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, say, you're slipping. You're not reading the Word like you should. You're not praying like you should. You're not fellowshipping with the Lord like you should. Well, if those things are found in our life, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, comes to us as a gracious pleader, asking us to turn around, to change our lives, even as Christians, and to please Him. It ended up well for Abigail. I didn't touch on that. But after Nabal was killed, David sent for her and asked her to marry him, and she did, and she had a blessed, easier life after that. You see, she was bound up in the bundle of life too, and not realizing what was going to happen to her, she did the right thing, and God blessed her for it. and the providence of God worked out in her life too. And as we look to the Lord each day, and as we please Him, and as we accept His providence in our lives, He blesses us. Many times it's not easy, the things that the Lord allows to come to us. But again, all things do work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Even the things that we don't like, that we think are against us, somehow in the end, God says they're for us. I don't know how I can prove it, except by His word, what He says. But I have proved it in my own life in many, many ways that God's providence is a wonderful thing as we trust Him to lead and direct in our lives. Our Heavenly Father, this morning as we have looked at this little story, I pray that You would bless and help each one of us. Some are in very, very difficult and hardship places, trying times, but may we see